This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello, halflings! It's me, Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined today by...
Thank the dear Lord, he's back. Bloody, I've been trying my best, Jasper, but it's just not the same, you know? I've been here going, hello, it's me.
Hi, I'm Liv Kennedy, but you can call me Liv. Thank you, Jasper.
Yay. And I will call you Liv, and it's lovely. Yeah, it's great to be back.
Yeah.
I've been dadding, and it's, you know, it's hard. And sometimes the baby's just like, hey, I'm going to vomit on you right before you're going to start recording. And then I can't be there and it's tough. So,
my dog does that, but it's different because it's, you know,
yeah.
it's a little iggy. So, yeah.
Sure. Your dog is at that key stage where I feel like has the ability to have some, like, won't completely die if you forget, like, leave him for like half an hour.
You know what I mean? I thought you were going to say that, like, he knows what he's doing, and he absolutely does know what he's doing. But yeah, no, yeah, your baby comes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. My baby definitely is in the phase of not being able to help it. But anyway, we are not here to talk about me and my baby. We're here to talk about the incredible work of two guests that we have today.
It's
the co-founders of Roll and Play Press, Sam and Kay Bartlett. Welcome to Three Black Holes.
Hello.
Oh my god!
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full prince vibe? Woof!
This makes them even more black!
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
No!
On a nat 20.
No!
You think this is just a game?
That's disgusting and I love it.
Yeah. We're about to get into something real big now.
Also, can I just say, very, very cool official titles. Yeah. Chief Creative Officer and CEO.
CEO.
Feels very cool to have such important people on Three Black Halflings.
With the Chiefs.
With the Chiefs.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Like, but yeah, how are you both doing? How's it going? How's life in this crazy, crazy creative world that we're living in?
Yeah.
How's everything? Well, it doesn't stop raining in London.
Yes.
So that's been depressing.
Yeah.
Nothing helps you be more creative than looking out,
oh my gosh,
out your window and it's grey.
Yeah. The next installment of One Shot Wonders is just like, it's really raining outside.
This takes place in the Shadowfell because that's the mood.
It's like contents page, Shadowfell Adventures. It's like page 1 through 99, page 100. In the shiny place, you know, like where the sunshine exists.
But no, things are good. Things are good. Kickstarter just ended for the map library, which is very exciting.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's always.
How did it go? Tell us.
It did really well. We got 3,000 backers and it made £265,000, which is a shocking.
It's our highest funded project ever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not shocked because, like, the quality's there, but also, like, hot damn, well done.
Thank you. I think, I know this is a podcast and it's really, like, people won't be able to see it, but we've got it here. We've got a sample.
But we get to see it.
Oh, yes, let's see it.
We can do, like, a description. Oh, so this is the map library.
Oh, my God.
It's got all the maps.
That is darn
it. That's need.
Really cool. And then you should probably check it out.
This is great. Great visual content for anyone listening. This is...
If you could see it, you would love it.
Okay,
if
you could see this. Oh man.
Yeah, I need to describe. Many maps. This is like
Jasper is crying.
This is so gorgeous. Yeah, truly, tears running down my eyes. The royal purple is just absolutely beautiful, and it's like a map. It's sort of like a little like binder, but it looks so good. I'm such a big fan of like premium feeling products, and I can tell by looking at it that it feels so good. Like it's got a good in your hands feel. I'm very excited about that. That's very cool. If there is any links and stuff like that we can share to that, even if it's just to the Kickstarter page where people can learn as much about it as they can, we will definitely include that in the description below.
I'm so aware that I was just in the background there going, oh, like an old goblin. Like,
Liv really does that whenever Liv wants something. You know what I mean?
It's just like grabbing. You're like, I would like that, please.
We went to a nerd shop recently, and all I heard was Liv in the corner.
Has anyone seen Liv?
It's like literally true. Yeah, honestly, just like looking at the social deduction games and going over to like the Lorcana packs, like, oh, what have I got? A whole pack of it? What have I did? Oh my gosh.
She's back. Dear.
Yes, there she is.
Well, we will definitely talk a little bit more about Roll and Play Press very shortly, but I think it would be great to start out by learning a little bit about both of your origin stories when it comes to sort of TTRPGs, nerdy stuff in general. I'd love to, and I'm sure everyone listening would love to know how you sort of not necessarily into the business side of things yet, but just like what was like the thing that sparked the joy for you in the very first instance? Whoever would like to can big jump question. In. Yeah, whoever jump feels in. The most prepared.
Do you want to go first? Or
I'll go first. Yeah. So when I was 12, I had this nerdy boyfriend. And he was really into nerdy stuff. And then we got married, and he is Sam.
I was literally going to say, I was like, what is this going to be the best love story ever told?
I feel intense for a second.
Oh
my
God. I was like, no, surely not.
It didn't work out. And then
Kate's about to admit that, like, they're secretly still in love with this. Oh no. Like, what have we done? Shit. No, no, no. Okay.
That was the twist that we ended up.
Okay, good twist.
So, yeah. I accidentally became a nerd, and I wake up every day and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a nerd. How did this happen to me? I at school I was a boffin. Do people still say that? A boffin?
Oh, yeah, a boffin.
I was a boffin.
You will have to explain that for the Americans.
The Americans. Oh,
like,
boffin.
A lot of our American listeners are like, what in the English is that? Like, seriously.
Boffin is like...
I've never heard you describe yourself
I was a boffin.
I know. No, boffin's like a good word,
yeah,
though.
It's a
like,
good word.
Yeah, boffin's a great word. It's so English, though, right? Like, now I have an awareness of, like, other people in the world. I've become so aware of how twee England sounds. At times,
yeah,
and like words like boffin do nothing to clear our name.
I had an instance like the other day where I went to an American and I was like, "You all right?" Like, you know, to be like, "Hey, how's it going?" Yeah. And they were like, "Yes, I'm fine. Is everything okay?" And I was like, "No, no, mate, no, it's like
the way we greet each other." So yeah, please, if you could provide us with the official K Bartlett definition of boffin, that would be fantastic.
Okay, so a boffin is a studious person. That's the end of my definition. I can't think of a more elaborate one. Yeah. But I was maths champion. I got the gold certificate.
I think the important distinction.
That's the important distinction
for boffin.
Yeah,
it's like studious is one thing, but it's like no. I love this. This is my jam.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That was me. Like maths is fun, kind of thing.
Yes,
I was. Head of school council. I was doing all that stuff.
So when you say I made you a nerd, so I feel like I'm getting a lot of blame here.
So I had, you know, I had a nerdy disposition.
Sure, okay.
I wasn't, you know,
boffin foundations.
I'd never seen Star Wars. Yeah. I'd never seen Lord of the Rings or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, you're 12, you're hanging around, you're on MSN. chatting to this guy.
Oh, those are the days, man. Those are the days.
And then you're learning about all this nerdy stuff, and then you're suddenly absorbing it, and you're absorbing it, and then 18 years later, you're a full nerd, full of all of this, like all of the details.
And it's your full-time job.
So I went to the extreme.
You
really lent into it.
I really lent into it. But
that's commitment, though.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, you like this stuff? I'm about to make it my personality. Watch this.
That was pretty much how it was.
Amazing.
Nerds are my people.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And what about you, Sam? How did you? What was? So you must have started before.
So
I wasn't a nerd until I met my girlfriend at age 12. This math boffin.
One of you is lying. Figure out who it is.
No, I feel like I was one of those people. Pretty much, I feel like I was born with an interest in like fantasy, and it was just kind of like a sponge. I feel like I was a sponge. So someone. You know, we went to see Lord of the Rings in the cinema, and I was like, yeah, this is amazing. I was shown Star Wars by my dad, and I was like, yeah, this is also amazing. Where can I get more of this stuff? So I feel like I've always been into nerd culture. Mm-hmm. And then I think I remember there was this pivotal point in, I feel like early secondary school, where a friend of mine's dad wanted to run a D&D game for me and my friends. Ooh. And I was like, what's D&D? I've heard about it, but what is it? And he handed out rule books to all of us. I think it was like third edition or something at that point.
Ooh, fun.
And I remember reading through and flicking through this rule book. And I was just like, whoa, this is cool. because it was just so much fantasy stuff in there. All the different fancy races, the places, and you could make these characters and you could fill up their backpacks with adventuring gear. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. When can I go on this adventure? Sadly, the adventure never happened. And we never went on that adventure. And then fast forward.
Well, you're going on plenty of adventures now. So
I'm making up for it. I'm making up for it.
Like, you took
you're
that
doubling
personally.
Down.
Like, I need to make sure that never happens again.
And then, a friend introduced me, a work colleague of mine introduced me to D&D. And also like Critical Role podcasts definitely got me into it. And
never heard of them.
No, I can send you some links if you want.
Hit me up. Yeah. We'll drop them in the description just in case.
Give them a shout out. Obviously, they need the booze.
As soon as I started playing it, I just thought, my friends would love this. And then I guess I had to become the GM because my friends didn't know anything about it. So, we played our first game. I think we all kind of fell in love with it. And that was the start of my D&D nerdy relationship.
It is kind of funny how the forever DM is usually just the first person in a friendship group
for
who got
real.
Into it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like the person who was into it and was like, well, I'll make it really easy for you guys to get into it. But, you know, never realizing that you're signing yourself up to years of servitude to your friends while they disrespect you by not turning up for games and, you know,
they womp your NPCs and they
amount of disrespect you're signing up for.
You could at least bring some biscuits, guys. If you're listening, bring some biscuits next time.
Bring some biscuits.
Snacks to the table. You heard it here. Friends
Actually, I'll jump in very quickly before we jump onto the next serious question, which is just to ask a favorite D&D or TTRPG snack.
Ooh.
If you sort of had to, you know, Role and Play Press has to endorse a snack. Doesn't have to be a brand. We don't have to go that far. You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. But like, if you had to endorse, like, hey, you're sitting down to play some One-Shot Wonders, what is the snack that you would recommend? Oof. The sort of sommelier type, like pairing, if you will, to your adventures.
I feel like you can't go sticky fingered. You don't want sticky
fingers.
Don't dig my miniatures with those fingers.
Or like anything with like cheese dust. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I was going to say
cheese dust has got to go.
But all that salt.
And nothing crunchy. Like if I'm trying to describe a scene to you and it's just crunch, crunch, crunch. Like, come on.
I'm just picturing.
And also as well, Well, crisps are particularly bad because the like quieter you try to eat them, the worse it gets. You know what I mean?
Just like slow if you're really like crunch.
I wish you could see the face that Jas is making right now, pretending to do this crunch. It's contorting.
But well, we've all seen that face. Yeah. We've all seen the quiet crispy.
I'm picturing we work out of this co-working space, and we did this event where we just let anyone in the co-working space sign up to play a D&D session. It was us basically secretly play testing some of the One Shot Wonders stuff.
And then before
I was going out and I was doing a snack run, and I remember thinking, what are the optimal snack combination for D&D? So what did I get? I remember getting some sausage rolls. Sausage rolls. I did get some Doritos.
Brownies, maybe?
I think I got brownies. Yeah. Doritos.
Brownies is good.
Yeah. I think chocolatey snacks. Ooh.
Yeah.
Pre-melted chocolatey snacks.
I think, and hear me out. What about soup? Because
seriously, Sam, what about soup has anything to do with this conversation?
So bring it up randomly to do with nothing.
Yes? You could eat soup pretty quietly. And I'm thinking as well for GM, for GMs behind the GM screen, you can have a little bowl of soup and just eat it. You know, when your players are talking amongst themselves, have a little bit of soup.
You are an agent of chaos, my friend. If you think I'm calm enough to have a bowl of liquid next to me whilst I GM, I promise you someone's wearing that bowl of liquid within half an hour.
Yeah.
Like, okay, no way. Absolutely no
way. We threw the idea out there. It didn't work.
I could just see your cogs ticking. You could kickstart a GM
a D&D
container.
Yeah. Oh man,
like a sealable one with a straw. You just kind of
goes behind the screen, it like hooks onto the screen, and then you just
section underneath to store the dice. We can make this. We can do this.
I'm a backer right now. Confirm it.
Okay, well, a serious talk though. 100%. There's a DM screen that you can add snack trays to.
Yeah.
But it means that the snacks are not on taking up valuable real estate on your table, but in fact 100%. Hovering. In sort of air, in the air, that's good.
And you could have
but
like anyone who fills up with straws
is a crazy person.
Yeah,
like a crazy straw around. That goes around the GM screen.
I had one of those straws.
And then
the
you
best.
Could just
and then the straw spells out "roll for initiative." And then,
oh my god,
he's drinking soup. He's drinking soup.
Yeah.
This is
and you've got another one that's like nat 20. You know what I mean? So you swap it out and be like, oh, guess what? The bad guy rolled.
But once again, must reaffirm that the straw is filling up with soup. Cannot emphasize that enough. It is only soup.
And not just a beverage, which would make way more sense.
No.
Now that we have confirmed the snack of choice for Sam, unless there's anything
else. I don't really
eat
much during games. You're always just kind of cup of water for a dry throat, but I don't really eat much during games. I feel like, the crunching and the snacking, it's not for me.
And then you're after the end.
I truly the funniest possible. Like, I'm so glad I asked this question because truly soup was the funniest.
You can tell I don't eat during games.
What is eating during game?
What is this?
I will stop. Okay. I must be in the zone.
Sorry, my plate. I will only eat when my character has a long or a short rest. Okay. I am role playing
and
sir.
Only jerky. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. Then yeah. I must have exactly 40 camp supplies, rations. Just like in Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh man, my party in Baldur's Gate have eaten some weird meals. It's like wine, tomato, and cheese. Yeah. That's what we're eating tonight before we face the dragon.
Completely. Like, there's an achievement you can get when you have a short rest or long rest with only like wine and alcohol. And it's just like, rough night or something like that.
So good.
Yeah. Back to the RPG stuff, I guess, even though I want to hear more about soup. But what was your actual experience breaking into like TTRPG publishing? Like, so how did you go from like enjoying the stuff to actually making the stuff?
Yeah, it's so Sam's background's in publishing. So Sam worked at Dorling Kindersley.
Yep, Dawling Kindersley, part of the Penguin group. And I was a graphic designer there for 6 or 7 years. And I got into D&D at that time. And like I said, a work colleague introduced me to it. And then I played it more and more. And the more I played, obviously working in publishing and thinking in books, the more I played, I was just like, oh man, my life needs to be made easier. Because as we've said earlier, my friends aren't going to GM. So I need to make my life easier. And I had loads of like random table printouts, random tables on my phone, random table on the internet. And they did help. Like when a player kind of asked me a question I wasn't prepared for. But the time it took to try and find those tables was taking up way too much time in my games. So I came up with the idea of a wire-bound book of random tables that just had everything in it that you could possibly be asked during a D&D session, from what does the potion taste like to what's the tavern called to obviously the favorite, who is the NPC and what are their, what's their complex fantasy name. And then the pandemic hit and we were sat at home and you encouraged me to put it on Kickstarter. And so we thought, let's do it. I've got a few kind of spreads I've put together, a few pages I've put together. I've got a cover of what it might look like. And so we thought, let's do it. Why not? It'll be a lockdown project. We'll hopefully sell like 10 books during the pandemic and it'd be a nice little project. And we go to the post office and like post them out. And you can, you can tell that by the Kickstarter. The way that we
there was no planning whatsoever went into the first Kickstarter. I remember the day it launched. We launched on a Sunday night. We hadn't told anyone.
Famously good for Kickstarters.
Nobody was told. It was I remember when you were saying I want to do this. I was like, okay, let's go for it. You know, just put it on Kickstarter. What's the, you know, it can't be that hard.
Why not?
Put it on a Sunday night, and I remember.
We hadn't even told our friends, family, anyone.
Because it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't meant to be a big thing. And I remember saying, "Put it on, and I'll back it so that it's got a backer." So I remember I was backer number one on that campaign. And then I remember I just went away and then came back, and there was two backers. We thought, "Oh my gosh, someone else has found it." And then it just started spiraling and spiraling and spiraling. And it was all just organic. I think people were just seeing it and thinking, this is a really simple concept. I want to make my games easier. I'm gonna pick one of these up. And it just spiraled and spiraled and spiraled.
And I think the thing that people kind of bought into was that it's wire bound and A5 in size. So it's small. And it lies flat and it folds in half. So obviously in your GM screen, behind your GM screen, you've got minis and dice. Whoa, and
that was unbelievably smooth.
Just more visual content.
Hey, we can clip these. We can clip this and put it online. Check. We can show the video.
So it was the fact that it was small and wire bound meant that it was just super usable. And I think that's what people were seeing and that's what people were interested in. And in the 30 days of the Kickstarter, by the end of it, we had 7,500 orders, pre-orders on Kickstarter.
Wow.
And it raised, like a quarter of a million pounds, wasn't it?
About 200,000 pounds.
Excuse my French, I think I'd have shit myself.
What did you do when you saw that that number was there? Yeah. Like, were you just like...
So it escalated. Yeah.
It changed our lives every day, and it kept going up and up and up.
I remember there was a point when your dad messaged and said, "Is this enough now? Like, are you gonna like
stop it? Stop it! It's out of control.
When do you just pull the plug and just say we've got enough, guys? We're good."
It was quite funny, but that's how we were feeling at the time and thought, "This can we physically fulfill this?" But I was training to be a lawyer at the time. So I had a business background and I'd worked in like businessy things. So as soon as I saw those numbers start to go up, I thought, this is spiraling. We need to put some structure here. So that's when I came up, we need a fulfillment partner. We're going to need to find manufacturers. Yes. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. And Sam was focused on making the book. And then I focused on just making sure the book came to life and, you know, everything else happened.
And then with obviously with your legal and business perspective, my publishing and graphic design perspective, we were like, hey, I think we've got a business.
Pretty good team.
Honestly, like, hell yeah. That's a match made in heaven. Like, it's the idea that you met when you were 12 and then this happened. It's, and like, it was the perfect like match for both of you in your like particular skills. That's so cool. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And I also just think as well, something, you know, huge props to you guys, honestly, from like, cause I think that there is a lot of people, I think more than, you know, 50% like of people would have gone, well, that was sick. Really enjoyed that. But you know what I mean? Like I don't think it takes then a huge amount of effort and, you know, dedication and everything like that, even with, you know, raising that kind of money to then really turn that into a business and really, you know, say, no, okay, like we've got something here. People are responding to something. Let's then take this and run with it and, you know, and create something really unique and amazing. And I just think like that deserves a lot of credit, because I think there's a lot of people that would have just been like, yeah, well, we captured lightning in a bottle and I'm good. I'm a dip just release this thing and then that's it. Done. You know, so yeah, props to you guys. And honestly, it kind of ties in quite well with the next question, which is, was there any kind of like pitfalls or setbacks or, you know, and I guess this could kind of go into the sort of business more generally that you kind of like, you either weren't aware of or whatever. And obviously this is, you know, whatever you're comfortable saying, you don't have to go into like huge amount of detail or whatever, but like, just, yeah. Like were there any kind of challenges that you didn't foresee coming when, you know, starting out on this slightly, you know, wild, new adventure? Cause I think that like, it's really valuable for people to hear like when, oh wait, that didn't go so well, but maybe actually you learned something from it or, you know, helped you in some way.
Yeah. I think that's quite a few things.
There's loads of things.
I mean, every day, 4 years in now, and I feel like
every day we're just working things out. Every day we're learning learning things. I think in the beginning, so we were both working full time at the time, but then, so Sam, I think quite soon after the Kickstarter ended, took a sabbatical from his job. I was months away from qualifying as a solicitor, and I'd gone to, you know, law school for all these years. And
there's no way. Even if you were like, I'm going to do this now, there's no way you could just not finish.
Well, I nearly did that. I sat and I remember I sat down and I phoned up the head of the training department. I said, I'm leaving. I said, I'm 3 months away and I'm just leaving. And then she was like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
She was like, no, you're not.
Don't do that.
And I was like, actually, yeah, maybe not. I was 3 months away, but she was really cool about it. She said, look, we'll let you go part-time and then you can still qualify at the same time. So I went part-time.
Oh, amazing.
And then Sam went on sabbatical, but that sabbatical never ended. And then I think
by the time,
are you still on set? Oh my god,
are they expecting you in the office on Monday?
I can't imagine the emails. I'm gonna come back to
now.
Your computer immediately crashes as you open your Gmail account.
But yeah, interesting setbacks we've had.
But I think even that, I think is such an important part of it, not to sort of jump in, but even just like in the fact that you're saying, you know, you're 4 years in and you're still at that point. And I think it's such an important people that creatives need to hear when they're at the beginning of the journey, because I think it's so easy to get a year in.
Yeah.
I think that like, there's like a moment, right? Like a year to 2 years in and you're like, fuck, I still don't feel like I'm on top of this, or I know where I'm going, or like, you know what I mean? Like the whole point is that it's supposed to get easier, right? It's supposed to get better, you know? But it's like, no, it just gets, you just have a different set of problems. You know what I mean? You hit the next milestone up and where you think, right, if I just get to there, it's all going to be, you know, plain sailing. And then you get there and you're like, wow, there's bigger problems up here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because suddenly you've got more money to worry about, or you've got more, you know, like orders to fulfill, or, you know what I mean? So I do think that that's like a really key part of that message, right? It's just like, be prepared that there's always going to be setbacks. But if anything, I feel like that should be a comfort to people.
Yeah.
Because it's like, just don't stress. You know what I mean? But like, don't stop trying to solve the puzzle and just like, you know, enjoy figuring stuff out.
Yeah. And exactly. It's not a mark of failure. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's been so many instances where we thought this is the worst thing that could ever happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even think, but
and then it gets worse.
Yeah, and then you forget about that thing that happened and then you moved on to the next thing. So we're just every day is every
there are
day
some
is,
good
is
days though.
There is loads of good days. There's loads of good days, and it's been such an adventure. We're a team of seven now, so there's seven wow. of us working full-time doing this.
That's amazing.
I think something that we've really tried to do as we've gone along is it can be really tempting to try and do all sorts of different things. There's been things that we thought, oh, we really want to try and do that. And then we've just sometimes thinking, do you know what? I'm going to take a risk. I don't know how to do that, but I'm just going to give it a try. And then that sometimes worked out really well. And then there's been other times where you think, actually, we're not ready just yet to do that. But either way, there's never a right or a wrong. Yeah. There's so many times where we're weighing up all the pros and cons of a decision. Yeah. Mm. And ultimately, sometimes you just have to pick. You just have to pick something and then do your best to make it work. But, you know, it's not always clear cut what the right things to do is.
I think focus has been really important for us as well, because, you know, we're a small team. Obviously, we started as two and then eventually have now grown out, you know, relatively slowly. Like, you know, we didn't hire all seven people at the same time. It's been kind of one or two year on year. And so because we're a small team, the temptation is like, oh, we can do this and we can do that and we can do this. And there's just so much going on, so much we could do. But then, you know, if we do everything, then we know that we can't do everything because we just haven't got the structure to do that. So it's really picking out two or three or four things and putting all of our attention and focus on those things and doing them really well. And that's kind of always been really kind of the way that we have tried to run Roll and Play Press, even from the first book, the first kind of accidental Kickstarter blow up. We both just, you know, saw the numbers in front of us, saw the amount of backers, saw the 45 countries that we had to now ship to and kind of saw that road ahead of us and just thought, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to deliver on time. We're going to make a great product that's written well, you know, and edited and proofread. And we are going to give our backers a good experience because we want to do it really well. And there's, so obviously, you know, there are, we do get stretched, and there are things that we can't give all of our attention to, but that's kind of our mantra, I suppose, we kind of only commit to something if we can give it out all.
And also, I think it's being willing to not do something as well.
That's
like
it,
sometimes,
yeah.
sometimes you'll start doing something, you know, and you've invested time and you've invested effort, and it's okay to just get to a point and think, actually, we're not gonna do this.
Yeah.
And being able to just do that, I think it's hard, but you know, you've got to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
Like prioritizing can be it's like you have a bunch of children and it's like, well, which one do I lead? Which one do I pursue? Which one is gonna be the best thing to do? But children might have been a bit harsh of a metaphor for it. But you know,
I'm like, sorry, Timmy.
Goodbye.
You're out.
No, sorry, I don't have the time to devote to you anymore. It's like, Mama, please.
but no, it's fully the sunk cost fallacy, right? Yeah. I'm so far into this thing, it would be crazy of me to completely abandon it now. You know, we're right there, you know what I mean? And I think that actually it really kind of resonated with me something that you said a little bit before, Kay, which is like, I think the key, right, is like also like being aware of your limitations and not seeing them as limitations, but see them as like helpful guidelines, you know what I mean, to keep you in that focused place of like, you know. And I think we've had this, right, Liv, with like 3BH. We, you know, one of the biggest issues I feel like we have constantly is that we get together and we have so much energy and we're like, we can do this and we can do this and we can do this. Absolutely. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, whoa. Let's just like slow it down and focus on the thing that we do and make
sure. A princess in a pie on a sky, in the sky. Just like, what if we did this? adjacent. Yeah. What if it did that? And then I have to be reined in.
It is mostly me doing a sort of impression of Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk, of sort of just running after Liv, who's just sort of in this kind of palace, you know, kind of like running around with a golden goose egg. And I'm like, Liv, calm down and come
I'm
back.
I'm going to make a TV show. It's like, no, you're not.
Yeah, no, you're not. Wait.
TV's a dying thing. No,
we do not have that many people on Patreon, I'm afraid.
Yeah, but I would also love to say it's a testament as well to like how good the product you initially made like is. Like I remember, so it was, I think maybe my first MCM, maybe, but I remember you came up to me and Dicebreaker after one of our shows and you were like, hey, do you want some of these? And I was like, oh, yes, oh my God. And like, I was like, you're just giving this to me? This is wild. But yeah, like it was such a, like an amazing product, and like, and it's amazing, like seeing how you've gone from that to One Shot Wonders, and now you've got like you've just done your Kickstarter. You're just flying high, and it's really
thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really amazing, and also just really exciting to see a successful, like, you know, small business, you know, at, like really making a good go of like what this, you know, in this industry, which I think is very, you know, can feel very like, oh, you know, like I think so many people are trying to like crack the, like, okay, what's the thing that we do in TTRPGs, or what's the, like, you know, what's like a viable business. And I think actually to find one and be so sort of successful and have such a good kind of work ethic and everything that you guys have is really, really awesome. And also your stuff is so good. I'm just touching the cover of my, my collector's edition of One Shot Wonders. And like, man, this is, this is a good cover, man. Like, it's just, it's nice. It's real nice.
There.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
But seeing as you are so good at what you do, I would love to for you to tell everyone listening, what advice would you give to anyone trying to like break into the industry?
And
like,
if you could say it real slowly just so I can
and then I can jot it down.
I would say To break into the industry, that's a really good question. It's a really open...
I suppose it's different because, like, obviously you were, like, not expecting, you know, anything to happen, and then, boom, there it was.
But there's... Yeah. Something that I really love about the TTRPG is such an open place. People are so willing to just chat to you and to share experiences and to collaborate. And that's something that we've just always just been amazed by. So if you're looking to break into the TTRPG industry, get onto Discord, look for other people who are trying to do similar things. There will be people. Get into Reddit. Reddit is like my place. I'm just always in all the TTRPG forums. Just into like Reddit. I love Reddit.
My partner is a regular on Reddit, and it's just telling me all these really cool things. I'm like, I should learn properly how to do this instead of like scanning through. Am I the arsehole? Like, yeah, you are.
So I think just looking for people to collaborate with. Test stuff out, start small, you know, maybe do a Kickstarter and do a PDF, do something digital to take off the stress of, am I going to be able to fulfill this? Your first project doesn't need to be the 200 page hardback with all the minis and all the stuff. Like with us, we started with a ring bound book, and it didn't have any of the bells and whistles. There was no minis, no dice. But that really took the pressure off of us. And then if you can make something small and then get comfortable with how do I work? How do I like working? Do I enjoy this? And then build up to, you know, finding what it is that you enjoy. And there is so much cool stuff out there that people are making. You can make some free content to go out, you know, to a couple of your friends just to test that out. But then, you know, it's also really good to see value in your work as well. Don't feel bad about, you know, charging for your work.
Charge what you're worth, because you are worth it.
But, you know, think about what you want to do. I'd recommend not giving yourself targets that then you just don't want to deliver on.
What would you say?
That's really good.
I agree with everything you said. I think collaboration is key as well. I think, you know, it's writing and designing and doing like all the artwork and writing a Kickstarter page, and you can't do everything. So I think it's finding people who fill the gaps in your own skill set.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if, you know, if you're a passionate writer, it's finding, you know, someone who can lay it out for you on the page. Like, how is your final product going to look? Or if you're an artist who draws really cool fantasy art that you think would make an incredible species or something like that, or monster, then maybe it's finding someone who is really talented in like game mechanics, and then who can write that kind of stuff for you. So I think that's probably the way to get into it, like you say, Kay, without kind of biting off more than you may or may not be able to chew. And I think
and I think also
I feel like No, you go, please.
I was gonna say, when it comes to collaborating, it's also good to test the waters. You could be best friends with someone. It doesn't mean they're going to be the best person to work with. We've got very lucky that we are married and also enjoy working together. But, you know, that may not be the case. That may not be the case. So, you know, sometimes it's better to work with a stranger. We actually, all the people we've hired, we know. And, you know, my sister is one of them. And, like, you know, people, old friends. So that's worked for us. But, you know, test it. If you are going to work with somebody who you do know, maybe test it out for a little bit, because you don't want to, you know, be having friendships brought to an end by things. Because that can obviously happen as well.
I guess just assemble your adventuring party.
So lovely. So nice. I think that's such an important thing for me, like, personally. Like, I recently like hired an assistant and also mm-hmm. have someone who I like do a lot of my collaborating with when it comes to like, you know, we actually worked together for a while at a job, outside of TTR Fusion, whenever we were working at the BBC together, and it kind of, we loved working together and really, you know, just felt like creatively we really kind of hit it off, and it was a really kind of useful, like you said, like kind of testing ground for like, oh, can we do this? And actually it was all pretty much always the case that when one of us felt creatively blocked or not in the right headspace, the other person was able to come in and, you know, sort of bring something up or suggest something. And I really feel that it's been so invaluable to me to start to surround myself with the people, you know, like Liv and Jeremy and our amazing producer Jess and everything, like that, who I trust entirely to sort of like understand where I'm coming from or what, you know, what maybe I'm saying. Cause like, I've done a little bit of work as a director, and it's like ultimately like my big dream, right? I want to, mm-hmm. you know, I want to direct movies and whatever. But the reason is because I really love the challenge of like, you know, collaborating and talking to people and finding out what makes them tick and all of that kind of stuff. Because, and like, I'm saying this from a place of love, which is that like, I consider it to be like, if there's one thing I would say I'm good at, it's collaborating with people. Mm. And even I will meet people and be like, you are lovely, but holy shit, let's not never work together. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's so important.
It will just sully the relationship. Yeah.
Honestly, it's so important to find a kind of energy fit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Without kind of sounding too holistic about it. It's just like, you know, I know that I'm a lot. You know what I mean? Like when I get an idea, I will be voice noting you at 3 a.m. and there's no expectation that you have to reply at 3 a.m. but you're gonna get that voice note, and for some people that's a huge red flag, and that's fair enough. So I just think it's really, really important to like understand where you're, you know, where you're coming from. Mm. What is the you know, what is it you're really looking for when you're like looking for a collaborator, and not being afraid to really say, hey, let's actually collaborate on something. Don't have an ego about it and be like, no, this is my idea and I'm bringing you on and maybe I'll give you like 10% if this takes off. Mm-hmm. No, just be like, no, we're both nowhere. This is 50-50. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Let's like, regardless of what the contribution is, because it's such an important, sort of, for me, honestly, creativity is like, collaboration is the bedrock of a good, you know, creative process.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it takes one of those real auteur types to be like, I'm gonna just, you know, free will this and tell everyone how to do their jobs. Wild. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah, wild.
I think we like looked out as well, especially because the way we work together with Jeremy and Jasper, just it happens to just be a really good fit. Mm-hmm. And like, I honestly, like, it's amazing when that happens, because like then again, you and Jeremy were, you know, already, you know, you already knew you worked well together, and then you brought me on because you were like, yeah, she passes the vibe check. But then, yeah, and then just knowing that Jess is just like an amazing, just you know, the queen of everything. Wow. I could always tell, you know, the queen of everything. Yeah, I know exactly.
Yeah, no, really, honestly, it's true.
Yeah, for real. No, yeah. And just like anything, like she'll be able to do it. It's fit together. It fits together really well, and I completely agree with you both. Just like a good team is
Key. Yeah,
it's very key. Yeah. We have two final questions before we wrap this up, which is to ask you, is there anything coming up in the future that you're very excited about, that you can talk about, obviously? Obviously, no, you've just done MAP, so maybe if you just want to talk about that again, you absolutely can do. But, you know, if there's anything, if you want to just, like, tease something out and be like, hey, you should be really checking out Roll and Play Press, because this thing may be coming, and, you know, whatever. Floor is yours situation. We're just huge fans of yours and are very...
For sure.
We kind of want to know, honestly. It's like, this isn't
is selfish.
We can cut this out, honestly. We cannot even include this. Just tell us the good stuff, okay?
So we've got... Have you got...
Our quest journals just hit our store. We've lost Liv.
Oh, my God.
So we've got some...
I'm so
bad. Okay, he's opening up. We've got some notebooks, some D&D notebooks, Pathfinder notebooks, and Game Master notebooks that just hit our store.
in February. That was from a Kickstarter last year. And we also have binders as well. So we have our Quest binder, which is a lovely faux leather bound six ring binder with all kinds of different insert packs. So yeah, you can customize it however you want with card holders, dividers, dry erase. Yeah, just kind of like your ultimate little RPG package that you can bring with you.
I'm on the shop if it wasn't clear from my just looking at it like, oh, it is very good.
We've always got stuff in motion. We've also got the map library coming out,
which is
over 90 dry erase maps for all of the adventures in One Shot Wonders. Good. So it means when you open an adventure, you can just pick out a map and it's ready to go. And we just love making stuff that makes life easy for GMs. Yeah. That is our brief.
Yeah.
Whenever we start a project, it's, if this isn't going to make life easier for game masters, then we don't make it. Yeah. If we're not going to use it in our own games, we don't make it. And that, I think, is why a lot of the stuff that we've made has really resonated. And the messages that we get from customers, some of them, it's just like, it's quite tear-jerking. Yeah. This gave me the confidence to GM for the first time, and like families who've brought them together and they played these sessions together, and people who have said they've really struggled with anxiety, and having One Shot Wonders there has given them the confidence to know that they don't have to stress over prep. And that's really what it's all about for us. We just want to make it really accessible and really enjoyable so that people don't have to stress and they can just have fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's so perfect and awesome. Yeah. And I think that, like, honestly, as someone who GMs far too much, I can tell you that having a really good note-taking and filing system for your notes is essential. Really recommend those beautiful little binders. Make sure you check that out. There'll be links and everything in the description below. But before we go, we do need a tale from the table. Now, this is a question that we ask all of our guests, and it is a something that is memorable that has happened at a game table. It can be something funny, it can be something tear-jerking, it can be something that just meant a lot to you. It can be something that's just really badass and cool. Anything that kind of like immediately kind of springs to mind that you've had at a table, and it can be about one of the like, you know, One Shot Wonders or whatever, or it can be, you know, just about a general
together
game,
or separately. Whatever you want.
So my campaign has had two TPKs, and I'm running.
It was only two. I thought it was your third. Was it not three?
We don't talk about the third one.
Whoa!
No, it's just two. So,
okay. Have you identified the problem?
Yeah.
So my players, for better or worse, wound up in a facility run by Mind Flayers. And they went poking around and they found this particular room that was full of Mind Flayers. And so they did what anyone would do and immediately charged into battle towards them.
They'll check your brain right out. What are you doing?
I mean, it's in the name, right? So they lasted a few rounds of combat until someone hit the deck. Then the two other players ran deeper into the facility where there were more Mind Flayers. And that was the end of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was an abrupt end. But we were all really invested in this world and this kind of dimension hopping campaign. So none of us felt like that was the end of the story. So I kind of went away and thought, right, how can we continue this story without, you know, I don't just want to kind of nerf that TPK and just say like, oh, it didn't happen. It was all a dream.
It didn't happen.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So I thought that those characters, you know, we don't know what happened to those characters. Some say they're no longer with us, but who knows? Because we faded to black before anything happened, right? So then we started a new campaign set in the same world where it was effectively new characters going on a rescue mission for these three lost souls.
Very cool.
And a few quests in, this hag gave the players a quest to do, and she said, to get to the other side of the lake, that you have only one instruction, which is do not go into the lake. Just don't do it. Don't go into the lake. There's a big scary monster. Yep. Don't do it. Okay. I feel like
cut and dry.
The hag was pretty explicit. Yeah. And sure. So the players, they
just the GM face of like
this is so they did this is honestly this is honestly the nicest I've ever heard someone phrase my players fucked around and found out like so twice
they jumped in the lake, okay.
Oh my god.
They rowed across the lake on small like planks of wood with like oars, because the fisherman who had the boats wasn't currently available. And they didn't want to wait. So they were like, look, there's some planks, there's some oars, let's do it. So they went across the lake, and I thought, I should do my due diligence, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's roll a dexterity check. You'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's course. Like, let's say it's like a DC 10 or something. Like, you'll be fine. Mm. Natural ones across the board. Everyone falls in. Lake monster attacks. And actually, to give them credit, the lake monster only had like 10 hit points left, but
that makes it worse, man.
It was a GPK.
Wow, absolutely phenomenal.
I suppose the cherry on the cake of that is a few sessions before I gave them a trident of fish command, so they could have just used it to stop the giant lake monster. But as a GM, you have to kind of let them play out and like, oh, maybe, you know, it's your turn. Maybe there's something in your backpack that might be useful in this time.
They're like, I got some rope.
I don't see anything.
Ball bearings. They're like moving the rod of fish command out of the way.
Yeah.
Shit.
I love my players. They're great. And we've played so many campaigns together, and it's my Tuesday night, and yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah,
despite absolutely all the TPK.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything that stands out for you, Kay? Any memories that you?
So I remember one of the first campaigns that I played in was, so Sam ran it, my forever GM, of course.
Sure. I wasn't going to play in it.
Thank you for your service. It was a post-apocalyptic kind of cyberpunk-esque D&D mod thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was very cool. And I was just very trigger happy and just thought I could do everything. So I decided to perform open heart surgery on the side of the road on our poor unsuspecting NPC to remove a tracking device. And I just thought, that can't be that hard, surely.
I wasn't expecting heart surgery.
You know what?
Yeah. I think that's it.
That's such a wow.
On the side of the road. Not very sanitary. I learned you should not do
that.
Yeah, R.I.P.
I think I just mentioned the tracking device, and then you guys were like, oh, okay. Well, we're going to have to cut it out of him.
Well, otherwise,
wait, what?
What? He was such a nice guy. What was his name? Was it Steve?
Steve. I will say, this makes me feel like so much better. It's like, okay, you're a qualified solicitor.
When the suit's off,
I feel better. Yeah. I'm going wild.
But also at the end of that, obviously it failed. And then the three of you were just like, oh, it failed. All right, well, I best we better get to the village. You know, he just left him. It's like, what about Steve? Who's telling Steve's family?
I was loudly sipping
my soup.
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely incredible.
In disapproval. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Amazing.
Well, this has been just genuinely such a delight getting to talk to both of you. You're really, really wonderful, and we'll furnish everyone with all of the links to Roll and Play Press below, so it'll be super easy for them to go and find all of your amazing stuff, because you just need to. Like I said, these books, they feel real good. They feel real good. real good. Very excited. Make sure you stick around on Three Black Halflings because we are going to be doing a deep dive into one of Roll and Play Press's books, One Shot Wonders. And I'm so excited to talk about it because I've been geeking out about this book for a little while. So I'm really excited to talk to these both of these about that particular book. But is there anything else that you would like to plug, talk about, chat about whilst you're here before we go ahead and wrap up this episode?
Hi team, you're great. Thank you for being awesome. We love working with you and you're all the best.
At Roll and Play Press on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and at Role Play Press on Twitter.
There's always one.
There's always one. Amazing. Liv, where can people find you on the Tinterwebs?
Well, you can find me at Does Dark Magic on everything. And if I'm not, then I'm at Olivia Does Dark Magic for the same reason that, you know, there's always one. So you can find me just like Twitter, TikTok. I'm doing some stupid stuff over there. It's truly silly. I was about to try and like explain like this meme I made on there the other day. And I was like, no, there's no time. There's not enough time for this. but yeah, like you can find me there and you should also just check out Roll and Play Press. Like honestly, like really cool stuff. Like I've known about the, your stuff for a while and you're just also like truly lovely people. So, you know, it's support a small business and then also lovely people. Just great. Just great stuff.
Woo! You can find me at JW_Cartwright. You can follow the show at 3. That's the number 3, Black Halflings, on all social media. And just check all the links and stuff below. We've got everything in there. We've got merchandise. We've got a Patreon. It's all great. It's all good. You should be there. You should check it out. It's amazing. Thank you so much to our wonderful guests, Sam and Kay, today. And we will talk to you next week. So long, Shire Folk!
Thanks so much for having us.
So long.
Thanks.
Of course.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.